Today, Mitt's Golf Lodge, gin-focused cocktail bar that opened in 2012 at the corner of Armitage and Kedzie in Chicago's Logan Square neighborhood. Scofflaw also offers crafted cocktails, craft beer, small plates, and a dinner menu. The small plates, by the way, according to their website, go well beyond bar food. The place also features two fireplaces, which must certainly be a draw during the cold winters. And there are no TVs. And allegedly, they have Malort on tap. My guests today are Sholanda White, a beer enthusiast who goes by Afro Beer Chick on social media, and her husband, Nick White, co-host of the Chicago Beer Pass podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Hello.
So the big question that I have to ask, why Scofflaw? How did we end up here?
Nick, honestly, when you reached out to me, I wasn't sure where to go. So I hit him up and asked him if he wanted to do the show with me and asked him, where should we go? And he mentioned Scofflaw. Now, this is only my second time coming. We came in once before. We stopped in for a round or two. And then, this is, I'm going to let you answer this one.
That's funny. My love for Logan Square knows no boundaries. So, I had a lot of fond memories coming to Scofflaw, back when I used to ride the bus. And, the two fireplace thing will get you. But then, honestly, man, it's a gin bar, and that's the spirit I don't make my way around to. And they're gin enthusiasts here. Also, they have a podcast, the guys who run Scofflaw, and I've been listening to it a lot lately. So Scofflaw was on my mind when she said that. I'm like, I haven't been there in a while, and I've been listening to their show, so let's go there.
And you made the drive down all the way from Rogers Park?
Rogers Park, Chicago. Hello.
Yeah.
About 10 miles north of Navy Pier. And, but it's a nice ride down Western.
Sure.
You take Western, cut over at Armitage, boom, and then cruise,
Well, and as we talked about when we were getting set up, it's nice to get out of your area. Otherwise, you end up going to the same four places all the time.
Shout out to my guy, B-Rad on Chicago Beer Pass. But, yeah, he's at Old Irving a lot. And that's
his jam. It's kind of become his home away from home.
Exploring, getting reacquainted with neighborhoods is a big part of why we love this town.
Sure. What do you both look for in a bar, or is it different for each of you?
For me, I think it's kind of different for each of us. So for me, I look at the ambiance of the bar. Is it low key? Is it sexy? Does it have great drinks? What type of crowd do they draw? Other than that, I'm pretty simple. And the beauty about Chicago is because we have 77 different neighborhoods and you're going to get something different in each bar. So I can't expect the same atmosphere in every bar that I go to. So right now in Scofflaw, I'm going to get something completely different if I go to Bronzeville or if I go to South Shore or if I go to Rogers Park. So that's what I love about the diversity in the atmospheres of the bars here in Chicago.
Nice, nice. I think I'm a big fan of fancy cups. So we find ourselves at, Three Dots and a Dash or, this place here. We've ordered four cocktails. They come in four different types of stemware, and even on the beer side, a place like Sleeping Village, I like places that really care about the type of glassware that they're serving your beverage in. And then after that, all about ambiance, man. Fancy chairs, dim lights, ornamentation. I'm into that kind of stuff when I go out, or if it's a simple joint, just a place where that they're blasting their music louder than I can blast it at the house,
Is there something when you walk into a bar that you go, this is not my scene, or something where you walk in and you go, oh, this is my place?
I think it's more about the feel. So again, because I'm so diverse in where I hang out, I can easily, as soon as I walk into a space, I'm like, okay, this is my vibe. Or I'm like, this is not really my jam. I'm going to be a one and done, and then I'm out. So this is more about the feel of the space for me.
That's interesting, man. We were talking about distributors on the way here. We were talking about distributors for beer. And, I'm often kind of drawn to what they have on draft because then what their allegiances are to, who the wholesalers are. So that's always interesting. So I'm always taking a look at every bar, and I'm soaking it in. But I don't know. If they got a jukebox, bring on bars. I like a bar with a jukebox, man.
You mean a classic jukebox or like the Touch Tunes jukebox?
I'm going to say Touch Tunes. Like, as much as I like vintage stuff, you know, with the record that comes out and lands, give me the Touch Tunes, because I can use that on my app, you know. But
you don't have to actually get up and walk over to the machine, stare at it.
And then that's another thing.
Hitting the button.
No one knows, and I don't know why I'm talking with my hands, but no one knows who plays it, you know what I mean? The bar at large doesn't know you played it if you got the app. So I think Touch Tunes for sure.
Yeah. Unless I walk in and I'm playing 15 Beers by Johnny Paycheck, and they go, who here played 15 Beers, an outlaw country song? That guy.
I'm going to point at Shalon. I'll be like, her, here she go right here.
And they're going to see me with this big old afro, colorful, and making them like, nah, she didn't do that.
Yeah.
More than likely, you did.
By the way, the reason I found you on social media was I was going to take the name Afro Beer Check, and I was like, somebody's already got Afro Beer Check. And then I thought, well, maybe I could be Afro Beer Chick 1. And then I was like, that's going to be weird. So I skipped it.
I would love to see you pull that one off.
Yeah, it's so lame when people do the whole underscore thing.
You know,
like the whiskey guy is already taken, so then they're the underscore whiskey underscore guy. Got to let it go. Got to find something else, man.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'll do a little bit of the building and bar history here. You guys may not know, but I did a little research.
Okay.
Let's see if I can actually read this. Hold on. Grabbing a candle. Oh, gosh, so dark in here. So the address was the home of the Zeitman Drug Company. Zeitman, Zeitmann, starting in 1935. The owner, Samuel Zeitman, was born in Lechowitz, Poland in 1866. He lived in England for a bit before moving to the States. Arriving in Chicago in 1905, Zeitman was a cigar manufacturer and seller of tobacco products at Milwaukee and Racine, and owned drugstores at Milwaukee and Chicago, Milwaukee and Noble, and on the South Side. According to records, it appears Zeitman, his wife Esther, and their son Harry lived above the drugstore. It was kind of cool. Samuel Zeitman retired in 1956 at the age of 90. That's when he retired, which is bonkers. At which time, Vivian Kleiman, Samuel's granddaughter, and her husband Eugene took over the drugstore. At some point, the shop was named Thrifty Corners. I know you'd want to come to a place called Thrifty Corners. Still selling cigars, toys, and what appeared to be over-the-counter medications until 1974 when they retired. Vivian died in 1994 at the age of 70. I did find an application for a city license at this address for a packaged goods and food store called El Baratio in 1991. I have no idea whether they actually got it. Back in the early 2000s, this address was the site of an eatery called Lucky Strike, and by mid-2003 was called the Streetside Cafe, which offered $3 margaritas.
Oh, wow.
I would have been all over that.
That would have been my joint.
I would have been all over that.
That doesn't sound bad at all.
Same team behind Scofflaw, you may already know this, also runs Slippery Slope, which, based on the website, has DJs dancing. They list Logan Square's favorite dance floor, and so I'd look totally out of place there, I'm sure. Mm. Although they do say skee-ball, which I don't know if you guys are skee-ball fans.
That was like when I was a kid at Showbiz Pizza.
See?
I would want to do that. That was the draw.
If I could get tickets and then trade a bucket of tickets for like an eraser, because that's all you ever got. You never got anything good.
20,000 tickets for one eraser.
The Heavy Feather is a fern bar above Slippery Slope that offers craft cocktails, gold mirrors, and polished walnut. It's a little more of my speed. Outside Voices, an eclectic wine bar, and the Moonlighter, which I have been to and recall an amazing burger. Was had along with a fine selection of beers.
Hmm.
So, a little more about Scofflaw and the place here. There you go. I'll save the other reviews for later. But, this place is really well regarded, and honestly, I can see why.
Yeah. I didn't know the history on it, so that was cool. It was a drugstore, and it was a margarita joint. So,
$3 margaritas. I mean, even
my favorite spot right there.
Yeah, even 15 years ago, that's like $5 now. $5 margaritas? I'd be all over that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There seems to have been a glitch in the recording, but as you'll hear, one of the garnishes to Nick's drink was a piece of candy.
Like if I just ate the candy, because I'm not like super into like hard candy like that.
Nick got a drink called the Swizzle.
Even the color is starting to change.
So, now that we're saying it out loud, the name of the drink,
Yeah.
And the fact that it's Werther's on it, I was supposed to swizzle it.
Oh, I got you. Well, you didn't have that much. So the swizzle is a whiskey drink?
No, it's gin.
Gin drink, okay. And it had a little candy on the side of it. We were trying to figure that out.
And then it has some fancy ingredients, man.
Shalanda figured out that it's meant to be swizzled.
Yeah, like we were saying, it's Werther's infused...
Get a hint of the caramel in it now.
Cochi Torino. What's Cochi Torino, man?
I don't know. If I have another kid, I'm going to name it Cochi Torino, though.
Well, you got to say the whole thing, like all one.
Cochi Torino Henry. That's a great name. So I read on one of your social media sites, maybe the blog, how you got into craft beer.
Yes.
But for listeners who don't know the story, please share. We'll be right back.
Are you a Caribbean American? Are you looking for a podcast that truly speaks to your culture and identity? Look no further than Carry On Friends, the ultimate destination for all things Caribbean American, hosted by me, Carrie Ann. Dive deep into topics such as culture, heritage, and everyday life through the unique lens of the Caribbean American experience. You'll walk away feeling more connected to your roots. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts so you'll never miss an episode of Carry On Friends, the Caribbean American experience. Your Caribbean American community awaits.
So it was him that actually got me into craft beer. So he gave me, this is when we were dating, and I'm at his place and he gives me this beer, Sophie, from Goose Island. He said, "Here, I want you to try this." And I was like, "What is it?" He's like, "It's beer." And I'm thinking, okay, at that time, I had no idea craft beer was even a thing. This is going to taste like another Heineken or something.
So before then, you drank just the macro brews, just the big...
It was before I knew better. So once he poured it, and it poured like a champagne, and I'm like, man, this is really good. This is some really... I was like, are you sure this is beer?
And the Sophie's in the fancy bottle, right? Isn't it? Yeah.
Right, and I wasn't used to that. So it was so funny, because after that, like whenever I would go over... I started hitting up my local shop, and I would start bringing beer. I was like, "Hey, have you tried this?" I even bought a beer one time with feathers on the bottle. It was against the grain.
Kentucky Rye Chicken.
Oh, wow.
It
was wacky.
Wow.
It was a bomber, and it had feathers around the half of the bottle.
It was so wacky. So by that time, he had started up with Chicago Beer Geeks, and I'm hanging out with him at these different events, and I'm like, okay, where are the chicks at? Where are the women at? Because I know I'm not the only one that drinks beer. So I just kind of started looking, you know, for my crew, and I came across Girls Paint Out. So they had chapters in, like, all these other cities, and I said, "Hey, where about Chicago?" They didn't have one in Chicago, and they let me start one up in Chicago.
It's not a big beer town, so I can see why nobody would have done it here in Chicago.
Yeah, so they let me do it. I did that for 2 years, and I had to kind of step away because at the time my kids were, you know, fairly young. But I came back. And I would say Afro Beer Chick started in 2017. So, because, you know, now the kids are older, and it's like, okay, I could be an irresponsible parent a little bit more, you know, and it just kind of took off from there.
But you started Afro Beer Chick in 2017, but by 2018, you were like a guest, you know, bar person at Revolution. How did that come about?
Well, that actually happened in 2019.
Oh, 2019, yeah. Sorry.
It was weird because I just put a tweet out, say, "Hey, I want to be a guest brewer for the day. Who's going to let me do it?" And Revolution, they was like, "Here." They was like, "You want to come through?" And I ditched work that day. And I went to be a brewer for the day. It was more of, for me, it was more drinking than brewing, which was fine. So I got to see how Marty does the tastings for the Deep Blue Series, which, oh, my God, that was like...
Sorry, for those who don't know who Marty is, you have to share...
Marty is an amazing, one of the most amazing brewers at Rev that is behind their Deep Blue. The whole barrel series there is just killer. And what I love about this brewery, they're genuinely nice people. I'm talking about everybody there, from the top to the bottom, from Josh to everybody there. So, and it's just been a great friendship ever since.
And what was your thing? What did you make? What was your
Oh, you mean with the beer cocktail?
What was your beer? Yeah, what was your, what did you create?
Oh, well, it was so funny because I didn't actually brew that day. I was more drinking that day. But later, then a pandemic had happened, and out of boredom, and a shout out to John Carruthers, who works at Rev. He used to kind of keep us stocked with beers. He said, hey, and I got bored, and I started making these beer cocktails, and they turned out to be pretty good. And now, matter of fact, next week, I'm going to go film the next round of beer cocktail videos.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
So how often are you doing those?
Well, the holidays is kind of tricky. So we try to do one now, like, every few months.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we're gearing up for the spring videos now.
Gotcha. And Nick, beer guy since the early days, or were you a macro brew guy at one point? And
I was a hookah guy in the beginning. No, I was not a hookah. I was not a hookah guy in the beginning. No, I used to have these long commutes from the South Burbs to the North Burbs. And the first thing you notice along these metro lines, man, is that every metro has a liquor store pretty much next to it once you leave the city. So, you know, and then I think we would go on beer runs on our lunch breaks in corporate, you know, not to drink it, but just to go, you know, fuss about bottles and pick some up. And then that turned into events. And then my buddy had a website called Windy City Stangs. It was a car website. And it had kind of flopped. And he's like, I got this idea for Chicago Beer Geeks. And all I heard was, let's start a band. So then I just started writing all these, you know, songs, in air quotes, right? Just all these events that we were going to. We write them down and take pictures so we wouldn't forget them. And then it just kind of snowballed, man. You know, we ended up in Ireland with Guinness for a weekend. You know, we ended up at a malt facility with Budweiser, a hop farm with Goose Island. And it's just been a lot of fun. And you march your way through neighborhoods, you march your way through suburbs. I have a better understanding of the region because I follow the beer, you know. So it's been a blast, man. It's been one of the cooler things of the last few years.
What do you think is the best and worst things, trends going on in beer and bars around the city? What do you like? What do you not like?
I like the fact that people are creative with the beers, but then sometimes I feel like it takes them too far outside of their comfort zone, where they forget about the styles that put them on the map because they're too busy trying to keep up the trends that they see on social media. Like, for instance, milkshake IPAs shouldn't even be a thing. It's just like, it's okay to not try to keep up with the trends. So it's like, I want a lot of these breweries to kind of to go back to some of the classics that made them who they are.
No, we're kind of cheap, right? So the big advantage of going to breweries was that, you know, it was a little cheaper at the breweries than it was if you went to a bar. You know, but now that, you know, they don't want to undercut their bar partners. So now when you go to a brewery, it's the same $8, $9 that it is at a bar. You know, personally, I wish it wasn't like that. You know, back in the day, you go to Three Floyds and get a case of Zombie Dust for like $20. You know, and those days are over. Now it's the same price no matter where you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I get it. You know, that's a cost of doing business. So there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, trends. I'm a big fan of the black IPA, you know. It's a Schwartz beer. When it's done properly, man, it's like this, chocolate-covered orange vibe, you know. I was a big fan of that, and it kind of came and went. Beer's always cyclical. I think lately, lagers has been a thing, but, you know, Mexican hot chocolate stout was a thing that kind of came and went. The hazy IPA came and never left.
Now, let me ask you about that. It seems like everybody has a hazy IPA,
and
I'm a fan. I think my fandom has kind of waned a little bit. I've got friends who just are like, it's got to be a hazy, got to be a hazy, got to be a hazy.
Sick hazy.
You think it's ever going to go away, or you think hazies are here to stay?
No, you know, we were talking about Old Irving earlier, and I think, you know, they're the lord of the hazy pale ale, where it's got these elements of a hazy beer, but all those things you don't like about it are kept in check. It's a lower ABV. It's a lot more balanced.
Is that their Beezer?
Beezer is their full-on hazy IPA.
Okay.
But they have these smaller runs. I think one of our top 10 beers of last year was a beer called Banshee. And, you know, these are small runs, all 5%. They look just like Beezer in, you know, like physically they look the same.
Yeah.
But they have a higher drinkability. You know, they're just they're still not really the best to go with food, but you're more interested in having a second pour of it.
Yeah.
In comparison to the full-on hazies.
Well, and your guy on the your Chicago Beer podcast had mentioned that his sweet spot is between 5 and 6, and I thought, oh, that's me too, because when I go to a bar or especially a brewery, and I look and everything is like 7 to 11%, and I go, I need something kind of light.
Yeah.
And easy drinking, and all this stuff is going to completely knock me down.
You're like, man, I got shit to do tonight.
Yeah, right, exactly.
7-8% beers.
Quick beer. We took a little break to eat, and as we were getting ready to come back, Shalonda said they have a his and her bar.
Yeah, we have a his and her. So mine is the North Bar, his is the South Bar. And it's so funny. Again, he was the one that got me into bourbon, because pre-pandemic, I didn't own not one bottle of bourbon or whiskey, but now I can't even tell you how many bottles there are on the bar. So in my space, it's colorful, it's bright. We have these funky LED lights that just, different colors. And then we got the vinyl going. It's such a whole vibe. And then his is kind of remind you of a sexy speakeasy with the leather couch. And then he has his wooden bar. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I got like a...
It does sound sexy.
I got my bar maybe in like Edgewater at this secondhand store. So it's got very much a dark walnut mid-century modern vibe. And I got the fuzzy carpet and I got the leather couch. Yeah, and hers is more like her personality.
It's colorful. Yeah.
So it's not that you have different liquor selections at each bar? They're pretty similar? Oh, it is?
It's there may be some overlap, as far as like what years certain things came out. So here, as a wife, it is my duty to let him buy the more expensive stuff, and then I help him drink his.
Oh my gosh. I may need to find a way to clone you somehow. That sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So go-to bottle on your bar and go-to bottle on your bar. Like what's...
Should we switch off and I'll tell you my favorite bottle on your bar?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Let's hear that.
I'm very partial to the... there's a Sam Houston 15-year on her bar. It's from a crew called Western Springs. So it's a sourced and it's batched, but it's 15 years old. It's like 93 proof. When you drink it, you're drinking something special. That's my... I don't have that bottle. That's the bottle that I like on her bar that I'm also...
And on his bar, I mean, I have it on my bar too, but I haven't opened it, is the Happy 15, which we recently opened, which is so freaking amazing.
So that's like 107 proof.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But overall, go-to is like the Japanese whiskey, the Takamine 8-year.
Wow.
I have killed like 2 of those. I think of everything that I've had, that is the one I have repurchased the most, and I killed it every time.
That bottle's ridiculous. It's something you can walk into Benny's and get right now. It's only 86 proof. It pours like it's something that's like 107 proof. It's, the way that they pack that much flavor into such a small whiskey, and then the story behind it, that, and it's like a $100 play. They describe it as a William LaRue Weller killer. That's how the people selling it describe it. It's insane how good that whiskey is. Yeah.
While we were on our little break, I crush that burger that I got, which was outstanding.
There you go.
And you got... I got to bring it up on my phone again. Nick and Shalonda shared the fire chicken scallion pancake. It's a scallion pancake, fire chicken, Monterey Jack, cabbage slaw. And you said there was some kind of an interesting sauce.
Yeah. It was such a bizarre combination of flavors. I didn't know what to expect. And it came out served almost like a pancake quesadilla topped with like a slaw.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was fantastic. I was like, Shalonda should probably try to make this, man.
I got to tell you, between the staff and the general vibe of this place, I'm glad you picked it.
Man, I haven't been here in a while, man. I'm glad, glad you gave us a reason to come over here again,
listen,
man.
I'm always glad to meet new people in person and get a chance to share a couple drinks and find an exciting new place here in the greatest city in the world.
Mm.
So, and on that, Nick and Shalonda, thank you so much for being here, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, man.
you're listening to today's One on Every Corner Scofflaw with Shalonda White, a.k.a. Afro Beer Chick, and Nick White of the Chicago Beer Pass podcast. This episode was written, recorded, and edited by me, Tommy Henry. Special thanks to Shalonda and Nick for joining me, and also to Scofflaw for being amazing hosts. As always, if you have questions about anything covered today, anything to add, or have an idea for a future episode, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email at chicagohistorypod@gmail.com. I have links to various items related to this episode's subject and others if you'd like to learn more about Chicago's amazing history. Anything ordered through those links, not just the items listed, may earn a small commission for the podcast and help offset production costs at no cost to you. Check out the Chicago History Podcast Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram pages for articles and pictures related to this episode and past episodes posted throughout the week. The original art for the Chicago History Podcast used on these social media pages was created by John K. Schneider. Thank you, John. He can be found at Angel Eyes Art JKS on Instagram or via email at angeleyesartjks@gmail.com. I will be back soon with more stories from Chicago's history. Until then, get out and explore when possible. Find a new tavern. Learn more about whatever city you live in. And stay safe.